Good morning, everyone. We're in the book of Titus, chapter 2 today, and now we're getting ready to give you another politically incorrect message. This is what happens when you preach the Word of God. You go through passages that are countercultural, and you can either be a man that'll stand up for the truth and what Jesus Christ says about holiness and the beauty of holiness, or you can just bypass it and try to conform yourself to the culture. How many would rather hear the Word of God today than the opinions of men? Anybody? Okay. Well, I'm so glad to hear it. And I got a little secret for you. If none of you raise your hands, I still preach the text anyways, all right? Just to let you know. And aren't we having a great time, by the way? The Lord is our joy, and I just thank the Lord so much for the truth. I enjoy the truth. I love investigating the truth. I find it like diamonds hidden in the rough. It's like a great treasure out in a field that if I knew what was in that treasure chest, I would sell all of my possessions and buy that land so that I might possess what was in that treasure chest. Well, the treasure chest is Jesus himself, and the lining is the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the pearl of great price. That is, all those stories, the parables, are leading to Jesus Christ. All the scriptures will teach us of Jesus Christ. So if you don't understand Genesis, if you go in the framework of Jesus Christ, God the Son, you'll begin to start understanding why there were origins. And by the way, we aren't a descendant of the origin of a monkey. Can we say amen there? In the beginning, God created. And that right there just cuts across so many false teachings out in the culture today. I don't know if you realize it or not, but our culture, and it's worked in even our churches the last 10 years or so, is this idea of women being raised to a particular place where they shouldn't be. Now, that sentence alone is going to make people mad. I just got to tell you, they're going to be angry with that. The feminist movement doesn't like roles, R-O-L-E, but the Bible teaches roles. It teaches places. It teaches where we should serve and where we shouldn't serve. And someone asked me, what about a church across town that now has a woman pastor? Well, they're disobeying the Bible. I don't know another way to put it. I wish they weren't, and some of you probably hear from those churches today. But we, just to let you know, we try to go through the Bible, and we don't always get it right. Let's just say that to begin with. But as we look into the Word of God, the best of our knowledge and what God is saying, we want to obey it because we love Jesus Christ. And that's the criteria. It's not the next political bent or who feels this way or that way. We don't fashion ourselves according to what the world's doing. We're trying to be fashioned by the character of Jesus Christ, and that makes all the difference. So whenever you preach a message like this and you're kind of fuzzy where you're going to stand on stuff, it should cut right through the gray areas, the dark things, and just have you to be relying on Jesus Christ yourself. Now, in the island of Crete, where this letter was sent with Titus, Paul writes to Titus, the young minister, and he says, now, I want you to ordain elders, older men in the churches who will lead the churches. So we went to that message, and the pastor teacher, of course, what I'm doing, is a gift to the church, believe it or not, in Ephesians 4, for the edification building up of the church. So is an evangelist. As a gift to the church. When they come through, you ought to see them as a gift from the Lord. And sometimes they get it right and sometimes they don't. Just like pastors. We're not infallible people. But God's word is infallible. And so I think that if we go through the Bible to the best of our understanding, asking the Holy Spirit to teach us, we're going to be pretty close to what God desires. Can we get an amen there? Amen. So this is what we hope, even in our imperfections, our theological bents coming in, we all have these, how we grew up, what we're used to, and all these things come in. Well, so Paul wrote to Titus, the other young minister letter is Timothy, and these two guys, he writes letters to, personal letters, and tells them what needs to be done in the churches. So the first thing Titus has to deal with is older men who had brought in the law, and they were teaching that if you're going to be a truly follower of Jesus Christ or saved, then you've got to obey the law to be saved. That's false teaching. We're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We depend on His work. We don't depend on our work, all God's people say. Amen. So it's grace. And if somebody comes in, it's the same Galatian error, and they preach another gospel, let them know they'll be damned. If they're trying to obey the law to be saved, they will be damned. Because no one has obeyed the law perfectly except Jesus Christ. How many of you rest in faith in Christ's work on the cross for us? That completed the law. Our faith is in Him, not in ourselves. All God's people say, amen. So after he straightens that out, then he says, godly older men that are at least 50 years of age ought to be by this time wanting themselves to be reproduced. Reproduced in faith, that is. They'll want their wife to have known Christ. They'll want their children to know Christ. And if they have grandchildren, they'll want their grandchildren to know Christ. They'll want to have that reproduction of their faith in their children, their offspring, and on down the line. That lets you know they're really walking with God. They've made enough mistakes in life to know that go with God's the way to go. Can we get an amen again? That's 50 years of age, the older men. And then we looked at the older women or the aged women, and we looked at the beauty of holiness in older women. And they weren't malicious gossips like they were at Crete. When they came to know Christ as their Savior, they stopped their gossiping. Because older women have a tendency, apparently, to be gossips. They've got more free time on their hands, and instead of using that time to help build up others, which is what they do with the yielding to the Spirit, they'll use their mouths, instead of praying for the weaknesses of others, to actually cut them down and destroy their character. And that's the flesh. So older women can walk in the flesh or they can walk in the Spirit. And also in this culture, older women, because they had more time on their hands, most of their children were gone from the house at this time, they would be nipping the bottle and start getting drunk. So when they came to know Christ as their Savior, they stopped bending the elbow and started opening the Bible. They got their joy from the Lord, not from the drink. Because alcoholic beverages can control you and to start destroy your life. Hey, I've known this in our own family. My Uncle Larry trusted Christ as his Savior, but he was a drunk most of his life. Got on painkillers in the coming out of the Army of Vietnam. Then started drinking. From there on, he drank 40 years. And he trusted Christ as a Savior. 2 weeks afterwards, he died. So he called all his friends to the hospital around the bed there and said, listen, guys, get rid of that alcohol. It'll take and destroy your life. That's what it's done for me on his third marriage. And said, I just got to tell you, stay away from that alcohol. So older ladies, you got to stay away from alcohol. Everybody needs to, by the way, getting drunk. It's not a way to honor the Lord. Be yielding to the Holy Spirit of God instead of getting drunk. Both of them will cause you to act contrary to what you're used to acting. Did you get that? If you get drunk, you won't act like you normally would act. And if you yield to the Holy Spirit of God, you won't act like you normally would act either. That's the thing. So these verses are actually for saved people. Now we're going to get to the beauty of holiness in younger women. And somebody said, oh boy, you're in trouble now. Well, I know it. Like one lady told me, hey, listen, the aged women, the older women. And I just tell you what, I love older women serving the Lord. It's such a blessing. Older men serving the Lord. If you don't have somebody you can talk to who's older than you about certain things, you're in trouble. You need to have somebody godly who loves you, loves the Lord, and that you can just talk to them freely. And they'll give you the right answer most of the time, whether you want it or not. Speak the truth in love is what the Bible says to do. So love, very important while we're telling the truth. And I hope you'll receive this message in love today. because that's certainly the way I want to communicate it to you. So then he gets to the younger women here. Young men are next week, by the way, Lord willing, if we're still alive and still here, as James says. Lord willing, if we live, we'll do this or that. And so young men, which men under 50, by the way, is young men, I realize now from the Bible. Here, the young women, and most of these have are married women and they have children. It doesn't exclude single women. The pattern will be the same for them except for in relation to husband and children. So just to let you know, don't cut me off here just because this is the beauty of holiness in younger women. This is the Bible, and you need to know what the Bible says about all of these different roles. Men have a role in the Bible to play. Older women have a role to play. Younger women have a role to play, and also younger men. So that's, and children do too. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, children, obey your parents. That's their role. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If your parent tries to get you involved in something that's ungodly or unsafe or illegal, you don't do it. But other than that, you're supposed to obey your parents. That's God's role for the children. So we all have roles to take, and actually everybody's supposed to be submitted. Everybody's supposed to be submitted to the Lord so that they might honor the Lord in their lives. People who are not submitted, no matter how old you are or young you are not doing the will of God. We've got to submit ourselves to the Lord. So Paul sends young Titus here with this message to the island of Crete. You know, there's this little island in the middle of the Mediterranean there. You've got Israel and Egypt all around them and Italy and all this. And right here's this island of Crete, big hub, and soldiers coming in, sailors coming in, wine, women, and wrong all over the place. Young women were refusing to get married. They were getting drunk and fornicating just like the men were. And so he writes this letter to them and say, listen, all that needs to change. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will change your life. All God's people say, amen. Amen. And so regardless of what the culture is doing to try to fulfill its emptiness and unhappiness, there is a way to have inward joy, and that joy is Jesus Christ. In fact, He's the only one that can fulfill that desire, because that place is just for God Himself. It's an inside job. And then as you know Christ is your Savior, then allow that holiness to come out of your life. And today we're focusing on young women. The Cretan women were refusing to get married. They liked dressing in a lewd manner and using their bodies to exercise power of seduction over lustful men, even married men. They don't care if you're married or not. They liked getting drunk, all for a hope of advancing themselves. And somehow, they're not exactly sure where they're advancing, but it feels good at the time. They were looking for love in all the wrong places. You need to look to God for love, by the way. Let me say something that'll probably shock most of us. Getting married doesn't guarantee love. Now, if you want to give love while you're in your marriage, that's great. Your spouse may choose not to or to. But I'm just talking about you today. And I'm particularly talking about young women who want to wear this garb of beauty, adorn themselves in the beauty of holiness. I just even love the title. How about you? I'll just give you the concluding statement. David said, there's one thing I really desire when I go into the house of God. I want to see the beauty of the Lord. I want to see the beauty of the Lord. And we want to see the beauty of the Lord in younger women too. Philemon verses 4 through 6. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. That the communication of thy faith, that's what we're talking about. Communicating that you have the real faith, and that's in Jesus Christ. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by what? Acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's how you effectively communicate your faith, that your goodness is in Jesus Christ, and apart from Him, you don't have any goodness. And the self-righteous get angry at me every time I say that. But it's true. Apart from Jesus Christ, we don't have any righteousness. It's His righteousness coming through us that's the good work. We have the part of yielding and allowing him to work. And then it becomes our work, co-laborer with Christ, not apart from Christ. Doesn't take any skin off my nose, any dust off my shoulder to say that I have no righteousness apart from the righteousness of Christ. My problem is yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing that righteousness to come through in every aspect of my life. That's my challenge. Not that I don't have total righteousness. I do. It's in Jesus Christ. And I'm perfectly content to rest in His holiness. Praise the Lord. Young women would learn in this island of Crete, just like they need to learn today in our culture, that God's plan is better than their own plan. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Flee fornication. Any sexual activity outside of marriage, run from it. Run from it. Just like Joseph had to do, Potiphar's wife seduced him, run. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That actually hastens the destruction of your body to have sex outside of marriage. Boy, you didn't know you were going to hear that today, did you? Actually hastens the destruction of your body. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Not this building. Your body becomes the temple, the place of worship, which ye have of God. God gave it to you, and you're not your own. That's a big problem today. No, we belong to ourselves. No, we belong to God. For you're bought with a price. Tell me what that purchase price is for your salvation. What is that precious purchasing price so that you could be saved from your sin? What's the price? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The beauty of holiness in younger women. Let's look at the verses today, Titus 2, 4 and 5. And it goes off that the older women should be teaching younger women, verses 4 and 5. Titus 2, 4. That they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. A list here of things. It's not a perfect list. It's a partial list. But it is a list here of things that young women ought to be considering if they want to walk in that beauty of holiness. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd take your word today, dear Lord, and transform our lives into your image, Christ, particularly the young ladies here today. May they see what you want to do in their life. And may we all see what you want to do in all of our lives, which is to make us like Jesus Christ. It's in your name we ask and pray, Lord. Amen. One lady said to, the older lady said to a younger woman getting to have a child, have you asked God to come and to invite God into the child laboring process? Have you asked God to help you with child rearing, raising up children? Have you asked God to help you with the challenges of working with a man, a husband, struggles of parenting? Don't make an idol out of the birth plan. Things may not go according to your plan. I remember our first child, Sarah. I was in the waiting room, and then once I saw things progressing toward delivery, my eyes crossed, and the doctor said, are you all right, Brother Joel? And I said, I'm blah, 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 blah. I couldn't even get the words out. He said, somebody grab him. He's going to hit the floor. I don't know what happened to me. You know, I just, everything was fine. All of a sudden, oh boy, this is not good. So I was a real champ. What can I say? You know, let me help you with all that breathing. That anyway, I'm out of here, you know. So the next two, I'm like, I'm going to be a real blessing by waiting in the waiting room. All right, yeah. So I helped my wife mainly by getting out of the way. There you go. So there, that's it. What can I say? I don't do well but anyway, you know the details. I don't do well with all that stuff. I'm not called to be a doctor, et cetera, et cetera. So each man has his proper gift, and that's not one of mine. Hey, let me let you in on a little secret, ladies, in this message. Men don't want you to be like them. I know that's a shock today. We see these commercials, you know, she's on the exercise bike and he's on the exercise. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. What a bunch of garbage. Come on. No man wants a woman like that in his heart. You mean that's the best we can do? God didn't make the female to conquer the male. He made the female to complement the man. Each having their own role. Men don't want somebody like themselves. They're attracted to God-given femininity, not masculine women or feminism, just to let you know. God created male and female to complement each other, not to compete. And we're to give ourselves to sound and healthy doctrine. Older men, give yourself to sound and healthy doctrine. Older women, give yourself to sound, healthy doctrine. Younger women, give yourself to sound, healthy doctrine. Young men, give yourself to sound, healthy doctrine. Needed today. Young women with soft hearts, sensible thinking based on sound doctrine. In other words, living the life Christ desires for them. Wonderful words of life, somebody wrote. These are wonderful words of life for young wives and mothers to build up themselves on their most holy faith. This is faith in action. Here are some things where true faith can demonstrate itself. You know, when there's not true faith there, it's very easy to abandon the marriage relationship. Very easy. You know, or even not even get married. It's about 46 or 47% of people just living to it. Somebody said, oh, great, the divorce rate's really gone down. This is wonderful. Well, the reason the divorce rate's gone down is because people aren't getting married. They're just living together. And that's even worse. You're going to hear some statements that are being rather shocking here today with regard to the National Organization of Women and what they desire to do in their culture. And boy, they're pushy, pushy women, I can tell you. One thing I like is a pushy woman, you know what? Push me over here on my back, push me over there on my back, get a little net. It's a joke, you know? Yeah, come on. It's all right. Other than that, I don't like pushy women. I don't think we like the idea of pushiness whatsoever. I think what we like the idea is of leading someone into the truth and saying, well, here it is. You can decide what you want to do with it. But a wise person will listen up. Can't make you do it, but I can lead you to the water. I can't make you drink, but I can put a little salt in your mouth so you'll be thirsty for it. You know what God delights in? Sexual purity. God delights in sexual purity. Thought, word, and deed. Sexual purity. We'll get on this a little bit next week, but if you've got a problem with pornography, women do too sometimes, young men particularly subjected to these things, you need to ask God to take that out of your heart and your life fast and never be involved in it ever again. Now, these women were already involved in this thing. They were already having sex outside of marriage and refusing to get married. And if they had a child, they just leave it on the street. That was the culture. All self-absorbed. And it seems like America is growing more and more that way today. If you're not married, then abstinence is God's will for you. If you, as a man and a woman, are married, that's a biblical definition of marriage, by the way, then there are certain intimacies that are God's will for you. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all in the sight of God, and the bed undefiled, that's a word pure, if you're married, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. I don't know why people aren't preaching that verse today, but it's right there in the Bible. The young women of Crete are like many of the young women in our culture today to think marriage is something that should be avoided as long as possible, and having children is just a weight around their neck. Wow. Now I'm going to say some statements you're not going to like, but that happens often. Amen? Happens often. Heard Hillary Clinton say this when she was pregnant with Chelsea years ago. Don't take pictures of me while I'm carrying Chelsea, because that's not the picture I want to portray to other women. Career's better than children. That's what I'm trying to portray. This low view of femininity and motherhood amongst the women is actually a low view or rebellion against God himself. It eventually moves to a low view of men, and then a low view of children. It's simply women loving themselves inappropriately, even to the point of murdering their own child in the womb. That's an inappropriate love of oneself. The sooner we as believers get to the daily practice of serving others as unto the Lord, the more joyful our lives will be. By the way, can God forgive us of any sin, yes or no? Yes, He can. I shared with you last week, this young lady, she was 16, 17 years of age, got pregnant out of wedlock, didn't tell anybody. Her grandfather was a minister, came to our church years ago. One of the sweetest ladies I've ever met. Sweetest lady. Her face just shined with the glory of God. She asked Christ to forgive her, but she murdered her baby in the womb because he was ashamed. Let's not make two mistakes. Child out of wedlock, you know what? Come to the house of God. Come to the house of God. Bring a child with you and raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then teach the child better to be married, having children and outside of marriage. Everybody knows that, don't they? Yes or no? Does anybody get married with the hope of getting divorced in a few weeks or a month or a year or 10 years or 20? Nobody goes into marriage like that. Got a right mind about them. First thing he says about these young ladies, if they're going to walk in this beauty of holiness, in verse 4, they got to be sober. That they, by the way, let me just back up just a little bit. Paul gives very practical advice here to Titus, who's a young man, not to get too close to the younger women. Why is that? Because here's what can happen in ministry, and it has happened. In my own father-in-law's church, his youth minister got close to one of the teenagers. She turned 18 years of age. They shacked up. He's a youth pastor. The president, not to, you know, this is years ago. But at the time, he was the present youth pastor at the church. He moved in with the 18-year-old girl from the church ministry there, shacking up with her, and my father-in-law fired him, and 50 people left the church because his youth pastor got fired. You've got to be kidding. That's how people are. I got to tell you, if you know all the facts about stuff, you keep your mouth shut on half of it. Believe me. Amen? I would just go with the older godly men who know most of what's going on, and I'd follow their leadership, just like the Bible says to do. That's what I would do. And you don't have to know all the details about stuff. When things happen in churches, just pray and be humble. And don't have to know all the details. Trust the Lord to take you through. And thank God you don't have to know everything. We're not here to hang out every dirty laundry that takes place in churches. Because you know what happens, folks? We're dealing with sinners. And guess what? The guy speaking today is a sinner too. We need the Lord. So, the sooner we as believers get to the daily practice of serving others as unto the Lord, the more joyful our lives will be. That changes things. These verses are for saved people. And if you don't want to honor the Lord in your life, you don't want to hear this. But if you do, He's going to start changing you on the inside. First thing He says here, that the older women very practically should teach the younger women. There's more reason than one there. Verse 4, that the young women should be sober. This is more than just not getting drunk. It means to be sound in your thinking, to use good biblical sense. Because I got to tell you, from what I've heard about young ladies, their life is changing, their body's changing, they're having babies now, they're dealing with a husband, and after a while they might just lose their sense. What in the world? I don't know if I'm coming or going. My husband doesn't appreciate me. The kids are screaming. This one needs a diaper change. And why do you mean the supper's not ready on time, woman? Hey, I got to tell you, I think the hardest place to serve is the young wife. I think that's the highest calling. Working with a man. Working with kids. And you know, kids don't always appreciate what we do for them. Haven't even figured that out yet. And it's a real challenge. That's why you're going to need the Lord. Young ladies, you're going to need the Lord. A lot of changes take place in a very short period of time when you get married and start having children. So our young ladies, if they want to be godly, are going to have to stop listening to the culture of darkness and follow the light of God's truth. And this is the light of God's truth. I'll tell you this, though, some of you aspiring to get married, getting married will expose your inbred desire to be self-centered. Marriage will do that for you. Now you live with another person. They got their own schedules. They got stuff they want to do. Then you add children to it like, oh, boy, you got to be kidding. All that free time I had is all gone now. And it's, you know, every day, you know, this kind of stuff. It'll just take that desire to be selfish right on out of you because you won't have time for it. Oh, yeah, it changes things. Every now and then the husband might say to his wife, you know, child's 9 months, two or three kids, whatever. Hey, honey, you remember me? I'm your husband. Yeah, yeah. Remember me? How about if the husband's struggling to make ends meet and children crying, often sick, supper to be made on time? That can challenge a woman to lose her sense. And the Bible is giving her sense back. Older women are supposed to tell her, listen, God will carry you through it. Just keep drawing from the strength of Christ. And the older women, if you see one of the younger women struggling, the older women, hey, pastor, I think you need to go talk to someone. No, you go talk to them. Older women are supposed to talk to the younger women. And I think we've got a good thing like that going on. And you younger ladies, you need to somehow engage yourself. Ladies just had a Bible study. My wife was doing, and that's over for now for a while. But you've got to make time, husbands. You got to allow time for your wife to be holy, be alone with the Lord, and grow and talk these things out, particularly with older women. You're not the only one. The devil will tell you that. He always tries to isolate us so he can destroy us. No, there's other women that have gone through the things that you're going through, whatever that might be. And they depended on the Lord's strength, and God carried them through it. That's what older women are supposed to communicate to the younger women. The second thing here to command about if the beauty of holiness in younger women is not only this sober mind and this sober thinking, sensibility, much more than just not getting drunk, but to love their husbands. Somebody said the Bible doesn't teach for a woman to love her husband. Well, it does right here. So it's not the word agape, by the way, which is commanded for men to their wives, unconditional love, but this is the friendship love, phileo. Young women need to content, it's continuous action. It means to continually befriend their husband and children, make a friend out of your husband and your children. You know how other women will seduce your husband? They'll make a friend out of him first, then they'll try to sleep with him. They don't care if you're married. That's culture. It's sickening, but it's true. So we need to, younger women need to take the action, younger wives, taking the step of talking to their husband. Sometimes he clam up or blow up. He don't want to talk. You're to take the steps to talk to him. Listening to them, listening to your children, listening to your husband, sharing your life together. That's what the word means. Caring for one another. Avoiding, young ladies, avoiding emotional isolationism. Shutting down on the inside and then through empty emotions, going through empty emotions on the outside, just going through the emotions and not really serving as unto the Lord, it won't take you long to realize just serving a man and serving his children is not worth it. Too much work. Don't sign up. But if you're going to serve unto the Lord, it's a grand opportunity. It's a grand place to have plenty of opportunities to bring glory to Christ right there in your home. In your weakness, depend on Christ's strength. And that applies primarily to your own husband and children. That's your first ministry. Regardless of what anybody tells you, your first ministry is your husband, then your children. If you switch that and make your children your first ministry, it's a sin. There are orders of ministry, and the first one is your husband and then your children. Amen. Wow. Bonnie knows about it. So we got one amen in this whole crowd today. I got to tell you, it's tough. This is rough. But I'm going to just keep preaching. Maybe halfway through, some of you wake up and realize, well, it's okay. Try to get a smile out of you. It's good. You know why most of us are quieted? Because we know these things are true, don't we? And they just go right down to the heart. Well, let's look at the next one. Verse 5. Teach the older women, teach the younger women to be discreet. God knows we need more of that today. Showing discernment in one's conduct and speech. Showing discernment. Because young women would have a tendency to blow up emotionally and cause a lot of trouble. And by the way, get a fellowship too. Blow up emotionally. Don't worry about the facts. It's just how I feel about something. And then you'll get a following, but it won't be a good following. So here, those wanting holiness, the beauty of holiness, exercising the beauty of holiness, show discernment in one's conduct and speech, being careful not to cause unnecessary offense. She may have to say things that need to be said, but she will do it in a kind, engaging manner. That's the beauty of holiness. Nothing like a cutting tongue. Oh, the ruin stuff. An older godly woman has left off being a malicious accuser and attacker of one's character, and she's been doing that for a good while. Then she's to take the younger women to demonstrate that she is being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God and how she speaks and acts. Particularly with regard to who? Tell me again. Her husband and her children. Man, if you make a guy mad, he may not come back for a couple months. If men feel disrespected, they have a tendency to want to hide. I know, I'm a man. If I feel like I'm disrespected by somebody, I don't want to be around them. Thankfully, I got a wife that does respect me most of the time, I think. I'm very thankful for that, let me tell you. I'm not so focused on her respect for me as I'm focused on my role and loving her unconditionally. Now, there's some room for improvement there, I can tell you. Still working on that. But here, young ladies, underneath control of the Holy Spirit, show discernment in their conduct and in their speech. They show discernment. That's what discreet means. They're not wanting to bring an offense to someone, even if they have to say something that's not comfortable to say. Blunt, rude, in your face, spitting mad, emotional outbursts, lack sensibility, that's our first word, soberness, lack sensibility, sound, and sober-mindedness, just saying whatever they feel. That's not being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Remember that the chief thing your man needs is respect, even when he's wrong. Sometimes the husband will be wrong. What are you going to do then? You're going to respect him and speak respectfully to him and try to talk to him about it. That's how you're going to handle it biblically. So the next thing we see here, the third thing, is this word chaste. Chaste. It means to be a virgin until you're married. Wow, you got to be kidding. That's what the word means. To be a virgin until married. Once married, it means abstaining from extramarital affairs. It also means not to dress in a sexually engaging manner. Oh boy, I hope he didn't keep going. I'm just telling you what the word means. So if you failed in any of these things, start being virtuous today. That's what happens when you go through a passage like this. If you're not going to be a loose woman, don't dress like one. Very practical, simple advice. Dressing to be attractive or to feel good about yourself, that's healthy. But dressing to sexually arouse men is ungodly. There's a difference. We don't have to pull the screen down here and show the attire of a harlot, do we? A woman trying to engage sex with men. We don't have to show you that, do we? Anybody got any brain here today? We all got brains, don't we? We need to see that, yes or no? We don't need to see that. We know that women selling themselves for money dress in a certain fashion. So we don't want to be dressed in a certain fashion if that's not what we want from the man, do we, young ladies? No, we don't. Very simple. Nancy Lee DeMoss, I shared this. I've got a different last name now. Remarried, her husband passed away. Older godly women have come to the conclusion that if clothing doesn't complement our character, we change. We should change. Okay, Now, a little bit of funny stuff. Can we do, boy, this is so thick in here, Pastor. Oh, can you, a little comic relief. Anybody need a little comic relief now? This is in the interlude in the message, okay? John R. Rice. I went online, and you know, people used to argue about makeup. Did you realize that? Anybody? Okay. John R. Rice said this, and he's passed away now. It's like, say anything I want to about it. Yeah? Now you're going to call me. Even an old barn looks better with a new paint. I mean, that's what he said. Come on. amen? I mean, okay. And then here's another one. Don't be overdone, but have mercy on the rest of us and wear some. Is that pretty good? Okay. All right, that's a comic relief. Now back to the Word. The Apostle Peter says this, warned of an overemphasis in the outward things. He warned against it. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 5. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the Word, here's how you can work the Word in their life. While they behold your chaste, there's that word, conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, putting on apparel. In other words, you know, just go around naked. See that? People, they look at the Bible and they don't think. He's saying don't depend on these outward things. And he says not even putting on apparel. He's talking about clothes in general. But here's the focus. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. That's the Holy Spirit, Christ, which is not corruptible. It's pure. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, wear that, which is in the sight of God. God's the one watching. Great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, they did the same thing. They trusted in God. They adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. That was holiness. They willfully came underneath the subjection of their husband. They wore that clothing of a meek and quiet spirit. And they clothed themselves regularly by trusting God and a willful submission to their own husband. And they were beautiful for doing it. Today, you know, the man and the woman, boom, boom, who's going to be the head and lead? The man's supposed to be leading. God said the husband is the head of the home. Christ is the head of the church. You see? 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Adorn yourselves in good works. That's how it concludes. What does modest mean? Not inappropriately proud of one's body or clothing. Not inappropriately proud of one's body or clothing. You know, if you got it, you need to show it. That's the world. Not according to God. My dad used to say some funny stuff. He said, man, them pants are so tight I can tell the date on the coin. You know, that's ridiculous. That's terrible. How many think that's terrible? A little too tight. Here's just a little jingle. Maybe it'll help us, okay? Please keep it high toward the neck and low on the leg, not too tight, if that's all right. Thank you. One more time. Can you get it? Please keep it high toward the neck, low on the leg, not too tight, if that's all right. Thank you. I think that it's really about as kind as it gets, don't you? What does chaste mean? It means to promote purity. If you haven't done it in the past, that means start doing it right now. How do you do it? You do it as unto the Lord. National Organization of Women hates this message, I can tell you. NOW is their call letters. Here's what they said. Marriage is essentially slavery for a woman. And the responsibility of raising children should be given to the state. We will never be truly free until marriage is abolished. Hillary Clinton. It takes a village to raise a child. No, it doesn't. It takes godly parents. It takes parents who see that children are a gift from God, not a weight around their neck to draw them away from what they really want to do. Parents are to bring their children up in the nurture, that's the care, and admonition, that's encouraged obedience to the Lord. Nurture, you care for them, and you want them to obey the Lord. That's how you're supposed to bring them up. The feminist movement actually hates the truth, what we're preaching today. And boy, they hate this one too. Number four here, keepers at home. Boy, that clock is just moving. Is that the right time up there? Tom, you spend way too much time on music. We just got to, I mean, how can I? All right, we've got to move quickly then so we can get through. Keepers at home. It means to have as their main occupation the work needed to be done in the home involving the husband and children. It means to manage the home as a nesting and resting place from the world. An enjoyable and desired haven. Ladies, young mothers, are you making that for your husband and your children? A desired haven. If her work involves that which is outside the home, it will be under the approval of her husband. Therefore, don't try to tell any other married couple what to do. It's none of your business. Oh, that's right. Warning, psychologist footnote here. Children given to daycare under 5 years of age, sometimes over 40 hours a week, often wonder if their parents care for them since they see them so little. That's just logical. Married couples need to pray and ask God what will most build up their family, and the husband should have the final say. That is, if he's operating rightly in his God-given role. Be careful in judging other people harshly in this area. Death, divorce, separations, little pay, few hours play a factor in all these things. But if the wife is working outside the home, if it's just to keep up with the neighbor stuff, then forget it. It's not worth it. Before you know it, your children will be grown and they'll be gone. And you'll be thinking, what happened? Boy, was that fast. You want to be fast? Life is fast. Number five, they're to be good. This is translated kind or loving kindness in other places. It is more of her attractive attitude while working with her husband than anything else. It's an attractive attitude. She's good to her husband and children. Cleaning. These are all good works. Food prep. Child maintenance. Washing clothes. Picking up after the kids. Music lessons, sporting events. The older they get, boom, 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 everywhere you're going, going, going. Just good. She just does good works. She's good to them. The next one is she's obedient to her own husband, not another man. This idea that women are supposed to be obeying men is the flesh of man. It's her own husband. I like it. The Bible puts it in their own husbands. A unique relationship. She's to obey her husband. I saw this video, and it was in Africa, and the lady was standing up here and her future husband here, and the pastor said, do you promise to honor, obey your husband? And she started rocking like this, you know, and because she said, she had already said, I'm not going to say obey. And it went on 10 or 15 minutes. She would not say she's going to obey that man. I wouldn't have married her. You already decided before we even get married, you're not going to honor God. Why would I want to marry you? That's my opinion on it. The will, we know what obedience is. It's the willful submission. You can't make anybody do it. It's the willful submission of placing yourself under another's God-given role, a husband. By the way, it's not only the wife that's supposed to do that to her husband. All of us are to be subject to God and His select authorities in our life. Well, I'm a husband. I don't have to obey the police. Well, try that on for size and find out. I don't walk into the White House and say, President Trump, I just came here today to take over. Oh, yeah? Throw him out. I wouldn't even get in the place. No, God has roles for people and that's the home, that's the church as well. And it's not perfect. The people aren't perfect in the roles, but the roles are there for God. Next time you look at a police officer, say, God raised up that role. Pray for them to carry things out as they should so that we might have a quiet and peaceable city to live in. Obey the police. That's what it means. And then the last thing here that this young mother and wife will want to do if she's going to be walking in this beauty of holiness, she will honor the Word of God. That means she will obey the Word of God. She'll do what's in her power to obey God. In fact, those who want to obey God are enjoying this message knowing what to do, and those who don't want to do so are not enjoying it very much. That's what the truth does. It exposes what's in our heart that's not right. It goes right into the heart and exposes what's not right and what we need to do. And so receive it with gladness and ask the Lord to do a transforming work in our lives. Amen? So the last thing here, time is gone, is that the word of God be not blasphemed. As she honors the word of God, how will she honor the word of God? By obeying it, same way everyone else does. Blaspheme means that you haven't honored what God said. We honor God's word when we obey his commands. Injury to the character of God can happen when any believer doesn't obey the word. Wow, we don't want to do that, do we? That's blaspheme. Cause injury. Now, here's two practical applications, and we got to close. Young ladies, young mothers, young wives, we got to remember this, that other young women are watching you. Some of them aren't saved. They will see if the word of God is transforming your life and your relationship to your husband and your children where it really counts. And then they will see the grace of salvation in operation in you. They will see if the word of God is transforming your life because you're obeying it. And then they will get to see the grace of salvation in operation. And it's real close to home. It involves your husband and your children. Wow. Older ladies, make sure you teach younger ladies what to do. May God enable the young ladies to desire this, God's will for them, and be adorned with that beauty of holiness. David said, there's one thing I desired of the Lord when I come and inquire in his temple. What is it? I want to see the beauty of the Lord. Father, thank you for your word today. We pray as we've gone through these different roles, older men, older women, younger women, some married with husbands and children, some single women here today. We just ask you, dear Lord, that they would see the beauty of holiness and how to operate, that they would embrace it and love it and want to do it, so that your word will be raised up and your name glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.